I'm sorry I look like every cop that's been in trouble on the news. You know, during the height of the pandemic, my friend calls me up. He goes, Mike, do you want to go to Spain this year for running with the bulls? I go, isn't that a bit soon? Remember last week when the air almost killed us? Remember 5 days ago we were almost murdered by the air? And now you want to go running with the bulls. Which I know that's what it's called, but that's not actually what you're going to be doing. Running with the bulls implies that the bulls have accepted you and you guys have decided to exercise together. What you're going to be doing is running from the bulls. Do you understand the difference? Running with, running from. Everybody's so focused on pronouns now. Maybe we should take a look at some of these prepositions. Running with, running from. He's kind of an unhealthy guy, so I took a shot at him. I go, instead of running with the bulls, why don't you just try running? Because you know what can kill you besides bulls? A sedentary lifestyle. He goes, well, let me know. You know, we all have to get COVID tests before we go over. I go, oh, do they want us completely healthy for when we're murdered by bulls? My girlfriend moved in with me during the pandemic, and I'll tell you a little bit about myself first. I'm 100% Italian. Thank you. And I tell people that, and I get pushback. They go, 100%, your mother and father? I go, that's what 100% means. What, did you drop out of the fifth grade? They go, can you speak it? I go, no, I'm third generation. They go, oh, you're not real. But I tried. I took an Italian language class at my high school, but I was failing it. So I did the most Italian thing I could think of. I went to the teacher after class and I said, look, I'm getting an F. I'm failing your class. But what do you say you give me a B and nothing will happen to you or your family? There's nothing more Italian than that. Now, my girl is from rural Indiana. And I learned this very early on during the quarantine. People from rural Indiana do not like to be called hillbillies. Did you guys know that? That's considered a slur. The correct term is caged free. The caged free do not like to be called hill folk. It gets their overalls in a twist. The hardest thing about moving in with someone is getting adjusted to each other's bad habits. I'll go first with mine. My bad habit is yelling. I do yelling. And I thought, oh, this is just being Italian-American, but that's not what it's called now. That's not what it's called in 2022. It's not called being Italian-American. Now it's called toxic and problematic. It's no longer ethnic. It's now toxic and problematic. Her problem, and since she's not here, we'll get into it. She leaves her crap all over the place. I mean, real bad. Cupboards open, drawers open, clothes all over the floor. So I go, were you raised in a barn? That's a pretty standard thing to say to somebody who's being a slob. Were you raised in a barn? But she's from rural Indiana. So it turns out she actually was raised in a barn. She took it personal and it started a 4-day fight. But it was a cultural miscommunication and she did it back to me. During the fight, she called me a pig, and that's a slap in the face in my culture. But to somebody from rural Indiana, a pig is your friend. She just meant that you are very loyal and trustworthy. But I remember the first time our bad habits collided. You know, I walk in the apartment and it's a mess and I go, what is this? What is this? And she comes out of the room and looks at me and goes, please stop yelling. I go, oh, I wasn't yelling at you. I was yelling at the person that I thought kidnapped you. Because this looks like a crime scene. What are you trying to tell me with this? You're from the Midwest. Are you pro-tornado? Because I'm anti-tornado. I think they destroy lives. But it's not that. It's just that Indiana is a different place than New York. It's not better or worse. It's just different. I went to go visit her people. Very nice. I ducked away for a little alone time. I went to the diner. And I had a great meal, and I got the bill. And the bill was for $6. So I call the waitress over. I go, excuse me, miss, there must be some mistake. This says $6. She goes, there's no mistake, and you're going to pay every penny of it. I go, I don't think you understand. What I'm saying is I have enough money in my pocket right now to buy this restaurant. So living together is going pretty good for me, guys. But I made a mistake during the quarantine. And don't ever do this with your significant partner. We're laying in bed, and I go, let's get to know each other a little bit better. On the count of three, let's blurt out our IQs. Never do that with your significant partner. One of you is dumber. And in my case, it was me, and I was much dumber. And she loves me, so she was trying to save it. She goes, Mike, you have a much lower IQ than I do. Even you're smart enough to know that. She goes, but you have this other thing called emotional intelligence, and that's pretty valuable too. And I did some research, and it turns out emotional intelligence is completely made up. It's fake. It's just something that smart people tell dumb people that they have, so that the dumb people don't kill themselves. And they stay alive and they do the jobs that the smarter people don't want to do. So my jobs in the apartment are as follows. Sanitation and extermination. Bugs and trash. That's what I do. I do bugs and trash. And sometimes she'll quiz me. She'll go, what are your jobs? I'll go, bugs and trash. And she'll be like, who's my guy? I go, I am. Nail it. Nail it every time. We recently had an incident. There was a bug in the bathroom. And the reason I know, because she was in the bathroom and she yells, a bug, it's a bug, there's a bug. I'm like, all right, car alarm, I got it. I go in, flick the light on, bug freezes, I freeze, it's a standoff. Now I try to kill this bug three times. Third time I step directly on him, scoop him up with toilet paper. He's still alive but wounded. So I throw him in the toilet. I flush the toilet. It's swirling around. This bug pushes away from the toilet paper. He Heismans the toilet paper, swims to the side of the bowl, starts climbing out. I see that, I back out of the bathroom. I go, it's all good, babe. She goes in the bathroom, she comes back out, she goes, he's alive and better than ever. I go, let me tell you something about this bug. He has more of a will to live than you and me combined. She goes, well, go back in there and kill him. I go, relax, this isn't a mafia family, okay? This bug has a lot of the characteristics, actually, that I admire in any living thing. This bug is resilient, overcomes adversity, mentally tough, never quits. This bug is basically who I want to be as a person. I'm not going to go back in there and kill my role model. He just lives with us now. She goes, well, I'm afraid to go in the bathroom. I go, well, you should be. Because you ordered his death three times. And I'm sure he overheard you. Because this bug probably doesn't have the highest IQ. But I'm sure he's got a lot of emotional intelligence.
I have an incredibly settled home life, right? And it's nice, but I wish it was more exciting sometimes. And the other day, I was talking to this comedian. She's much cooler than me, and she has a really cool dating life. And she said, oh, so I'm dating Jack and his girlfriend now. I'm in a throuple. Like she was getting a new kitchen. And for some reason, to keep up with the Joneses, I said, Connor and I are thinking of becoming a throuple. Went home that night, sitting in bed next to him. He's reading the latest interest rates on moneysavingexpert.com. And I said, Connor, do you think, can we maybe get a new boyfriend or girlfriend? He went, which one of your bohemian friends have you been talking to now? What you want to be in a throuple for? I went, well, maybe then you'd have someone to go to parkrun with. Because I hate it. He went, fair. I've told you, stop asking me deviant things. You have this idea of yourself in your head that you're a mad slag that loves shagging, when really you just like coming home to me, having dinner and cuddling. I went, okay. Can we get a cat? Can we get a cat and not fuck it? Just a pet cat. When people talk about compromising in a long-term relationship, that's the kind of thing they're talking about. You start off with high aspirations, throuple, three ways, it descends to a pet that you don't even want. I like dogs, now we're getting a cat. Anyway, I thought I can't criticise Arlene Foster for being closeted and not say I've had a few women in my time myself. So I says I was bi properly, and this time I did it during a stand-up set on telly. And as I said it, I felt sick. I felt like really nervous about saying it, but everyone started clapping me for being a brave girl. They were very woke and progressive. And I was thinking, stop clapping me for being brave. Fuck off, man. It's only half gay, so it's only half brave. I was thinking, everyone I went to school with is going to see this on telly and slag me off and say, she's just doing this because it's the easiest way of being a woke hipster. It's easier than becoming a vegan. And I'm a vegetarian, which is the bisexuality of diets. And that's how mum and dad found out, was they saw me talking about it on telly. Imagine that's how your mum finds out about all that, right? What all that is. That's me fingering an unbelievably tall lady. My mum phoned me up to ask me about it after the programme came out. And she asked me about it the way only a Scottish Catholic mother does, which is by not asking you. After about 10 minutes of the phone call, there was just a series of disconnected facts. Hello, Fern. I made a carrot cake today. Then I went to Zumba. Then I picked sweet peas in the garden. And then there was this terrible pause, and I knew what was coming. And she went, Fern, are you a bisexual? Imagine if that was how Holly Willoughby asked Philip Schofield on the couch. The Scottish way, by screaming it in his face. I was like, yeah, Mum, and you told me it was disgusting the first time you found out. No, I didn't. How dare you? Anyway, I've changed since you were a teenager. Because I've seen the musical Kinky Boots. And that changed everything. Isn't that amazing that art can move people in profound ways? One of Broadway's shittest musicals, Kinky Boots, turned my mum from being a homophobe into someone who pretends not to be a homophobe. And I go out with women that are like my mum. They're always quite intense. They're always fucking mental. And I'd really judge men who say they're always going out with mental women. I think it's quite misogynistic. So can I just say at this point in the show, I met my first girlfriend in a mental hospital. So she was fucking mental. You know, diagnosed, we both were. It was a great match. Her name was Rita, She was a tiny little skinhead butch. We were both 16-year-olds in a mental hospital. You know how it goes in your teens. You read Sylvia Plath, you go in a mental hospital. Rhea used to write me these love letters that would open with things like, who's the funniest girl in all of Willow Grove's children and adolescent psychiatric daycare unit? That's Fern Brady. Who makes the best potato prints about her feelings in occupational therapy on Thursdays with Nurse Linda? That's right, this guy. And then there was a terrible drawing of some palm trees on a beach done in crayon, and it said, when I look into this lassie's eyes across group therapy with that bitch Nurse Fiona, I can see the sun setting on a beach. And it's all because of... That's right! What a cracking lover I am! So Rita had given me this wonderful necklace along with a letter. The necklace was a very classy necklace from the Elizabeth Duke at Argos range. Oh good, some scum, get that reference. Posh people of Glasgow, Elizabeth Duke at Argos was a range of jewellery where working class people could express earnest emotions at a fantastic price. Rhea gave me this necklace. It said something on it like, love lasts forever, which in Rhea's voice I definitely heard as a threat. And my mum found the letter and the necklace when I was 16 and she went nuts at me. She was like, this is disgusting, this is vile. I was mortified, like, well, I guess this is how she finds out I've been fingering girls in a mental unit on my lunch break. I like how non-judgmental you guys are about that. You understand there's not much to do in women's psychiatric units. You learn to finger bang and you learn to play pool to an incredibly high standard. Then mum stopped shouting at me and she went, Fern, what upsets me the most is I just cannot believe you would pretend to like other girls in order to steal their jewellery. Excuse me? Now, a few of you know what's going on at this point, right? There's a type of person who sees the whole world as straight and then they tell themselves any story to get to that conclusion. My mum's one of those. My mum would rather tell herself a story in which I am a jewellery thief running some sort of a heist. Not for good diamonds, not for Chopard or Cartier diamonds. Elizabeth Duke at Argos, £10 necklaces, fingering girls against my will. All as part of the grand jewellery thief heist in a mental hospital. But you see how it happens, because the other thing when I was a kid called Section 28, where Margaret Thatcher said that you couldn't teach primary school kids that LGBT people exist, not teach how to give blowies or how to lick fannies, just that they exist. I'm not saying this to try and be right on, but yeah, when they ban teaching things like that on the curriculum, I look back and think of the amount of utter bullshit that my teachers taught me at primary school. I went to a school where there was a crucifix on the wall of the assembly hall, there to there. Teacher told us that was the actual cross Jesus died on. Why is Jesus 1 foot tall? Why is his final resting place Scotland? I used to like to do this in class when I was 5. I was bored, right? Just move my head from side to side. Something to do. Right? And my teacher said, you know, Fern, that's all well and good, but the brain is attached to the top of the skull and it gradually comes loose. And the more you do that, the more likely it is that your brain will collapse in your skull, killing you instantly. Teachers are maniacs. I had the best year of my primary school career not being taught the curriculum. When I was 8 years old, I had a teacher, Mr. Curran. Mr. Curran was drunk the entire school year. If you're a child, this doesn't register. You just think, why is this adult more fun than all the other adults? Didn't teach us anything. Just came in every day, sat us on the carpet and told us stories about walking his three-legged dog in the woods. Now, one day, he sat us all down and he said, "Kids, while I was walking my three-legged dog in the woods today, I found something very special." And he had a shoebox in his lap. No. He just went, "Oh, God. I don't know what kind of school you went to, but this isn't the point in the story where he's like, 'It's my big willy! Now suck it, bitches. Get your mind out the gutter, because something beautiful is about to happen.'" He said, "I found a little badger." I swear to God, he opened the shoebox and a badger come out. So beautiful. Greatest thing that had happened in my childhood at that point. Every day for a year, didn't do any arithmetic, didn't do any handwriting, just had this drunk guy stoting about with a badger in a box. One day, he said, "Listen, kids, I'm going out of the classroom for a bit. You're 8, you can take care of yourselves. While I'm down the pub, do not get Mr. Badger out of his box. He's a wild animal. I'll get him out when I come back." I was a very good kid. I never broke the rules. However, I sat next to two very nasty boys, Lee and Kevin. They're definitely in prison now. And I said to them, "I love having Mr. Badger in class. I think he's the best thing to happen to primary four." Lee and Kevin turned to me and said, this is hard to say. They said, That's not a badger. That's a fucking puppet in a box, you fanny." Do you know in The Matrix, when Neo finds out reality isn't real? I felt my vision go black. The room starts spinning around me. I'm shaking my head uncontrollably. No, 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 man. Reliving the past year of my life, looking in Mr. Badger's very real eyes, hanging out with him every day. I said, "Guys, I'm 8. I'm not stupid. That's a real badger." I said, "I'll go to the front of the class now. I wouldn't normally do this, but I'll go to the front of the class and I'll take him out of his box and I'll show you all he's real." They went, "You're a fucking spoon." If this does go to America, there's no way of translating that. I went to the front of the class. I stood in front of the box. Took all my strength to open it and look inside. Looked down, 100% a glove puppet on a pile of dead leaves. The whole school knew except for me. If you think my comedy's dark and cynical, that is the moment all hope died in my life. And they still won't teach primary school kids that LGBT people are real. I spent a year talking to a badger that doesn't exist. A week after this, I overheard our art teacher, Miss Christie, telling one of the other teachers, as if we couldn't hear, "Oh yes, they let go of Jim Curran last week. It turns out he was drinking heavily on the job." And those two boys from earlier just turned to me and went, "Hi, Fern, guess what? We saw him walking his dog in town. It's got 4 legs." Twist the knife in, why don't you? People in power just lie to you. I think people are getting more progressive on sexuality because I get a lot of younger people coming to my tour shows and they're so cool in terms of seeing sexuality as a spectrum, and I think it's great. And I says to my wee boyfriend, "Now people view it this way, could you be anywhere else on the Kinsey scale of sexuality?" And he answered really earnestly. He was like, "I've thought about it, but I honestly don't think I want to suck a dick." I was was like, Connor, no one likes to suck a dick. It's just the polite thing to do.
I actually got divorced a week before COVID hit. Yeah, so who's ready for some comedy? I just start crying. No, it's okay. I think the craziest part about getting divorced is having to change your emergency contact back to your mom. It would be less embarrassing to use a stranger from Craigslist, truly. But other than that, it went pretty smoothly. Like, we still have a lot of love and respect for each other. He's also a comedian, so we didn't have a lot of assets to split up. It's not like there was a summer house and a boat. It was like, do you want the Batman Begins DVD? Who gets the good spatula? And after some time had passed, we decided that we were going to try and be friends again. And that's always a little weird, the first time you try hanging out with an ex as a friend. When he saw me, he fist bumped me. I was like, wow, honestly, I would rather have you fist me. That would feel less physically uncomfortable than this nightmare you just put us through. Hated that. Absolutely not. And I've had the deadly peanut allergy for most of my life. So for the 8 years we were together, he had to stop eating peanut products. Because if he did and then kissed me, my throat could close. So when I saw him, I was like, oh, what's it like to eat peanut butter again? He goes, oh man, we should have broken up a long time ago. I don't even blame him. Have you had peanut butter? I can't compete with that. I hate that the person I'm with has to give that up. That puts way too much pressure on me to be worth the trade-off, right? Like, you're gonna rob a man of Reese's for the rest of his life? Pff, bitch, you better be pretty open-minded in the bedroom. Gonna make a man stop swallowing something delicious. Well, get ready to start swallowing something gross. You gotta fill the void that Snickers left. A missionary with the lights off ain't gonna cut it anymore. So, had to learn some new moves and watch some tutorials. That's what I call porn. It's just educational for me now. I just watch with a little notepad like, oh, pretend to gag. Okay. Seems good. I do think it's easy when you get married to stop trying as hard in bed, but God, if you get divorced and you start trying to date again, it's like having to come back out of retirement. You know? It's like you gotta start stretching, get ready to run another BJ 5K. Like, no, I just did this. Somebody moved the finish line back another 10 years. Ugh, can't even see it. Do we have any married people here tonight? That was a pretty sad sound. You guys were faking it a little bit. You're like, eh. Some of you just treated it like a silent auction. You were like... Just so sad. Anybody here been married for a really long time, like over 20 years? You guys are so cute. How long have you been married? 21, give it up for 21. That's a long time. Yeah, so you guys get it. If you've been working the same job for over 2 decades, you start to cut some corners. Right? But if it is your first week at a new blowjob, you are hustling. You just are. I'm sure you dudes have figured out by now that the best blowjob you ever get from us is the first blowjob. Because women, we're so competitive, we know that you're about to compare us to every other one you've ever had. So we just enter the arena that night like, I will be queen. Give me that. We pull out all our tips and tricks, hurt our knees, throw our back out. We want a trophy. We will give head to get ahead. But then you get married and you start to treat blowjobs like you're assembling IKEA furniture. Just skip a few steps, and by the end you're like, next time I'm hiring somebody else to do this. A little righty-tighty, lefty-loosey, let's get the hell out of here. We gotta go to Costco. I tried to avoid the whole post-breakup identity crisis. One of my friends went through a breakup, and she got this dramatic haircut afterward as a revenge move against her ex. She's like, if he sees me, he's gonna know he missed out on this whole other me. Like a guy has ever seen a haircut and been like, never got to fuck asymmetrical lob, Lisa. Bullshit. You guys never know when we change our hair, right? You're not even observant of yourselves. Before the divorce, I was cuddling with my ex, and I felt like my leg had been stabbed. I looked down. His toenails looked like he cut them with his teeth. They're all jagged. Like he could unlock a secret door in a haunted house. I was like, do you have a best friend with a matching jagged toenail and you put them together to make a best friend necklace? Is that what you're doing? He turned his toe into a prison shiv. And I was like, what is this? He goes, I just didn't notice. Oh, I sure did. When you shanked my Achilles tendon. I'm bleeding out. Because I feel like this stuff only gets worse with you guys with age. Like, we've all seen the really old men with thick tufts of raccoon hair growing out of their ears. I'm sure that guy's wife has been telling him to trim it for years, and he just can't hear her. Like, Matt? It's like yelling into a fan. It's coming right back in your face. I just sat next to a very old man on a plane recently, and I had my notebook out, and he leans over and goes, it's nice to see somebody writing and not on their phone. And I was like, aw, he doesn't know I'm writing jokes about cum. And I was like, oh, suddenly Candy Crush doesn't seem so bad, huh, Wendell? And I booped him on the nose. Love that, Wendell. Does feel a little weird to start over now in my 30s, but at least I know now what I like and don't like in a relationship. For example, I don't care how hot you are, I'm still never gonna eat your ass. Not a fan of the devil's chocolate. No, thank you. And I'm fair about it. I don't ask anybody to eat mine either, okay? There's no need. Women have a lot of holes down there. It's like a mini golf course. Just skip the one that's in a lagoon. Just don't even look at it. I have never wanted to do that to one of you guys. Most of you dudes have real blue-collar assholes. Not a lot of maintenance going on back there. That thing works at Lowe's. I don't trust it. It's like blindly sticking your face between two couch cushions. There's just goldfish crackers and part of a broken Christmas ornament. It's a choking hazard, frankly. I'm not gonna swallow a paperclip so you can come a new way. And that is the joke I wrote next to Wendell on the plane. So.
Everyone I know is angry, really. I mean, everyone I've ever met, especially in New York City, is angry.
No.
We're all, yes. I saw a two-year-old throw a fit in CVS today, and he just got to this planet. He's got no bills, no kids, no responsibilities, and he's still like, what the fuck is going on here? Open a register. Anybody here in therapy? Yeah, over there. Good for you. Is it working? Oh, good. I feel like the only reason you feel good in therapy is because you're on a couch. Therapy, yeah, I don't know. If I do see a therapist, I'm going to see a female therapist. I think they're the best. Yeah, I do. I think I just think women are better at talking about feelings and emotions and ideas and all that stuff. I've been around guys my whole life. I don't trust them. Certainly don't trust them with my feelings. I'm sure there's hundreds of great male therapists out there, but I'm terrified I'd go to a male therapist and say something like, I'm scared, and he'd be like, I'm scared. Oh, I'm scared. I'm Nick. Look at me. I don't know. It's just men. Men are not good with their feelings. We're just not. It's not a big deal. It's not a huge deal, you know, but we're just not. Feelings are like crayons. They give you 64, but you only end up using like 3. I use like 3 feelings. Anger, despair, nothing. And nothing's the big one. Nothing's the big one. I can't tell you how many times someone's told me a long story and at the end of it they say, isn't that sad? And I'm like, I don't know. Sort of. It was long. Maybe that was it. Let's talk to my buddy. He told me he was horny. I said nothing. Telling someone you're horny is like telling them you have diarrhea. There's not a lot to add. Should have taken care of that before you left the house, I guess. I don't know what to tell you. That's what he said to me. I'm horny. What did he think I was going to say? Oh, all right, come here. Let's get this over with. You owe me. You shouldn't tell people you're horny. I mean, you tell your lover, your partner, whatever, that's fine, but you don't tell some guy you're horny. You don't just tell some guy you're horny, you know? You're not going to get sympathy, right? You get no sympathy for being horny. It's not like you're sick. You can't call in horny to work. Yeah, I'm not coming in today. No, I'm really horny. I don't want to give it to everyone else. No, I already tried that. And I'm not stupid. I know there's more to life than just sex. We all know there's more to life than just sex. It's just that sex is so much better than those other things. There's other stuff, but it's so much better. It's dominating. I mean, I love cookies. I do. I love cookies. But if I do not have access to cookies, I will not download a movie and watch 2 other people eat cookies. Or will I? Yeah. I think it's the word, horny. It's just, it's not a pleasant word, is it? corny. Just feels aggressive. They should have called it something nicer. Extra lonely. Sad in the pants. I'm shocked that hasn't caught on. Sad in the pants, wouldn't that be great? Yeah. Would make those late night phone calls less sleazy. Can I come over? Why? I'm sad in the pants. I think some of you are hesitant to laugh at the horny material. Yeah, because of the times we live in with all the sexual misconduct going on, which isn't funny, which isn't cool. All the perverts. Seems like every time you open up the newspaper, there's a new pervert. Yeah, I used to think I knew what a pervert was, but with all this information going around, I finally looked the word up. You know what a pervert is? A pervert is a guy. That's it. Yeah. That's it, yeah. Just a guy with an idea. Guys are not doing well right now. Guys are not going to make the playoffs. Right? It's just not good. Just look at the news. It's all guys. They shouldn't even call it the news. Should call it shit guys did today. And now Susie with the weather. Don't touch her! A lot of couples, that's good. Love. I'm in a relationship. I'm in a relationship. I am cautiously optimistic, which means I'm divorced. Are you divorced over there? Divorced? You're divorced? Oh, you're just happy I am. All right. You usually don't get that kind of support. Yeah. For those of you who don't know what divorce is, divorce is when the person who knows you better than anyone in the entire world thinks you suck. They've done the research, and it's a big thumbs down. Anyway, that's all behind me, right? I'm in this relationship. It's going okay. She's smart and funny. Of course, everybody says that about their partner, don't they? He's smart and funny. She's smart and funny. No one's ever like, I'm dating a sad moron. Woo, it's tough. She is smart, though. She's got a master's in business, a doctorate in engineering, and a law degree. Wow. Yeah, but I feel like we balance each other out. So... I ground her. I don't know. I love her. My buddy said, how do you know you love her? I'm like, I don't know. What do I got to convince you to? He is right on some level. You can't be positive you love somebody. You think you love somebody. You tell people you love them, but you don't. There's no way to confirm it, right? There's no test. There's no breathalyzer for love. That'd be nice. Someone trying to get over on you. I love you. Oh, really? Blow into this. We have a realistic kind of love. We don't have that Hollywood kind of romantic comedy, everything is going to be fine kind of love, right? You know? Matter of fact, we were watching a movie the other night, and The Rock was in it, and he turns to the woman in the movie, and he's like, I'm not going to let anyone hurt you, ever. And then she looks at me, and I'm like, well, you know. Certainly do what I can, but I'm scared too. I just don't want to date anymore. Big thumbs down on dating. Because I'm old. I've been doing it forever. It's too emotionally exhausting. That's the big problem. It's emotionally exhausting being in love. Like when you try to find out, when you try to meet somebody. Because what is dating? Dating is basically one person walking into a room and saying to another person, huh? Not bad, right? And how do you... And how do you figure out if you like somebody? You go to a comedy show, you have drinks. You go to dinner, you have drinks. You go out for drinks, you have more drinks. Of course you're going to think you like the other person. You're hammered. But you don't learn anything about the person. You say the right thing, wear the right thing. Oh, yeah, me too. Then 6 months later, you find out they're a creep. I don't have that kind of... I think all first dates should be in your underpants on a couch at 7 a.m. with all your medications in front of you. Yeah. Yes. You got diabetes. I got depression. Let's do this. I don't know. I really don't. Dating. I don't even know. I just with the sex too, and that's hard. It's difficult to say. I don't even have that many. I don't have as many sexual thoughts as I used to. I don't know what happened. I think my porn director in my head is so exhausted from his early work that. He's just showing clips from the Great British Baking Show right now. Somehow it works. So anyway, seeing this woman, she wants to get married. I want her to stop wanting that. It's not that I don't want to get married again. It's that I don't want to get divorced again. Exactly! I don't want to get divorced again. I know two divorces is a bad look. I'm sorry if you've been divorced twice, but it just doesn't look good getting divorced twice. You get divorced once, people are like, oh, that's too bad. You get divorced a second time, they're like, what the fuck are you doing? What are you saying to these people? If this one doesn't work out, though, I'm done. I'm retiring. I'm taking the penis off, putting it in the closet next to the Peloton and that book I never read. And you got to give it up, though. You can't. You just got to throw your hands up and just wish for the best. I think that's all you can do. So, yeah, sometimes you get married, you get divorced. Sometimes you get married, you get divorced. Sometimes you get married and that person kills you. That's got to be the worst. What are the chances you marry somebody and they kill you? It's got to be a weird feeling. They're coming at you with a knife. You're like, wow, was I off?
So my fiance and I are getting married in October. Thank you. We're going to have a heterosexual wedding, we decided. Got to discuss everything these days. You can't take anything for granted. I said, I identify as the groom. She's like, I feel like the bride. I was like, all right, that's one thing down. Let's talk appetizers. We had a bit of a love story. We dated 10 years ago, and I fell in love with her. As soon as I saw her, just instantly fell in love, felt that connection. But then she broke up with me. She didn't feel it the same way. She was young, she moved to Italy for school and work, and I was broken, I was devastated, I was pathetic. Have you ever been pathetic? Like really just an embarrassment? Like you can see in your friend's face, they don't even want to be around you. It's like, oh, he's gonna tell us the story again. It was very raw, you know, you feel alive, but for all the wrong reasons. Started making bad decisions. Started visiting her mom. Basically started dating her mom. I just needed to be close to someone who was close to her. But then finally I got my shit together, moved on, broke up with her mom. My life was good again. I felt whole. I felt good. Years went by. Dated other people. Then a couple years ago, I got a text message out of the blue. How are you? And you know how you recognize the old area code? It's like, oh, 908. Look who's back. Right on time. How are you? I was like, today or the last 8 years? The answer to both is fine. Send. Because you gotta be a man about it, right? Can't give it up too soon, gotta play it close to the vest. But inside I was like, dear diary, you'll never guess who's back. I'll give you three little hints. 908. Give up, diary. It's her. I was excited. Very excited. We went out for coffee, then we went out to dinner, and then she moved in. Decided to take it slow this time. And it's funny because you know how you have different friends who react differently? You know, you have the friends who are like unconditionally supportive, hopeless romantics. My friend Danny was like, Teddy, if there's any love in this world, run towards it as fast as you can. I was like, thanks, Danny, I'm gonna do that. And I said, but don't you still live with your wife even though you got divorced 5 years ago? He's like, we're talking about you right now. This isn't about me. I was like, that's fair, Danny. Then you have other friends who are more like protective of you, right? They hold a grudge for you, right? My friend was like, don't let her back. Don't let her break your heart again. I was like, I don't even know if I have a heart. I'm 48 years old, I just wanna feel again. Who cares? Break my heart. So it did feel good to reconnect with the one who I always thought was the one. Because she's different, you know? She's an artist. I'm a comedian. So we've committed to a life of struggle. But she just fascinates me. I like the way she sees the world. She's different. She was raised by lesbians. I don't mean she was abducted and taken into the wild. She was raised, her mother was with a woman and they raised her and her siblings. And every now and then it just hits me. Just little moments, I can't even explain it. I'm just like, ah, that's right. Raised by lesbians. They don't care for men. I am... a heterosexual man, I've always been attracted to females, but there are certain guys who make me nervous. You know what I mean? Like every now and then I'm just like, oh, hello. Like I never know when it's gonna happen. Like there's this guy that works in the bagel shop in our neighborhood. I can't even make direct, like he has the most mysterious blue eyes. I can't even look him directly in the face. Like, as the line moves up, it's like, I hope I get him, but I also don't hope I get him. Like, my heart is beating faster. My mouth is dry. Finally, I get up to the front. I'm just like, cream cheese, you decide. I don't know what it is. I'm not sexually attracted to him, but I just want him to like me. Desperately. So we reconnected again. It was beautiful. There was an age difference, and there still is. That's how math works. But it feels like less now because time has gone by. We're both older. Like if I took her to my high school prom, I would have been pushing her in a stroller. Like, no, trust me, guys. I have a good feeling this is going to work out. Hey now, don't dream it's over. Hey now, hey. It helps her sleep. They come to do the wall between. No, they're home. Oh. She is in her very early 30s, and I am in my late 40s. They say a woman's sexual prime is her 30s, so she is in her sexual prime, and I am not. I'm past my prime. Like, do you remember when Shaq played for the Celtics? That's me. He didn't look like himself anymore. He had a hard time getting up and down the court. Some nights he was really an embarrassment. And I bet there were nights where Shaq's teammates got very angry at Shaq and said, like, Shaq, do you even want to play with us? Do you have any passion for the game anymore? Do you care? And I'm sure Shaq was like, no, guys, it's not that at all. I love you. It's just that I'm a little older now. It takes me a little longer to warm up. Maybe if you could just fucking be a little patient, Shaq probably said to them. And I just think it was very unfair of Shaq's teammates to treat him like that. He was a legend. He had done a lot in the game. He deserved better. And if you look back, Shaq had some really good games for the Celtics. Not every game. But on some nights, he looked like the Shaq of old. And I just wish his teammates could have appreciated that instead of harping on the nights that he had difficulty performing. I feel for Shaq is what I'm trying to say. The older you get and the longer you've been with somebody, the sex isn't as important as sexual threats. You know what I mean? You just got to throw it out there like, oh, someone's going to get it tonight. Nobody's going to get it. You're just going to watch Netflix and go to bed. But it's just nice as a gesture to put it out there in the air. It's a nice thing to do. Oh, you better watch it or you're going to get punished. Like what? Go to bed? Like what's the punishment? We know what's going to happen. I proposed on a Wednesday, on a random Wednesday, just because I felt like anyone can do it on a weekend when it's supposed to be fun. You know, but I felt like Wednesday would really set her up for what our whole marriage is going to feel like. It's going to be a real Wednesday energy to the whole thing. And the sooner she knows that, the better.
But since having my little lad, I've had to be responsible. You know, you've got to be a responsible adult, responsible parent. Any parents in? Yeah, it's good, isn't it? It's stressful. It's stressful, not for me. For my little boy. Very stressful being a baby. Very stressful. His socks just fall off all day. Just at random, throughout the day, you look down, oh, his socks are off again. Imagine what that would do to you as adults if that was happening to you. Your mental health would be in the toilet if you were going through that. I'm amazed, is it more baby's first words when they learn to speak? What the fuck's going on with these socks? Seriously. It's mad being a baby. My little boy's 13 months old. He's got 3 xylophones. What does anybody need 3 xylophones? There's professional xylophone players with less xylophones. And this kid, I said to my wife, why has he got 3 xylophones? She goes, oh, he likes to play one in the bath. Yeah, of course, it's like some kind of fucking eccentric billionaire. What is going on here? We can put 2 of them away. Surely we can put 2 of them away. It's great, I'm loving having him. We tried for a long time to have a baby, me and my wife. We tried for years and years and years. We didn't think it was going to happen for us, and it nearly broke us up. It was a very difficult time, but he's here now, and it's amazing. His birth was incredible. I'll never forget his birth for as long as I live. There's only a few things that I'll remember vividly forever in my life. One is the birth of my little boy. The other thing I'll never forget where I was when I heard the news that Michael Jackson had died. Now, it was Glastonbury Festival, 2018, which is a full 9 years after his death. I don't know how I missed that. That's on me. That's an oversight on my part. I'll accept that. We started trying in 2016. My wife turned to me on the settee one evening and she goes, Josh, I want to try for a baby. And I said, I want to try for a baby as well. Together? Yeah, perfect. Let's do it. result. Because we've been together a long time at that point, and we've been together for years and years, and when you get with somebody really young, you can't really imagine what it'd be like to be with them for years and years. I tell you what I mean, we went out for quite a posh lunch recently at a very fancy restaurant, if I do say so myself. And the young guy that's letting us in, he's about maybe 18, 19, this lad, and we had him booked, and it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon. This young guy, he looks around the restaurant, he goes, I can squeeze you in, but we'll need the table back by 5. What the fuck do you think we're going to be speaking about for 4 hours in a Las Iguanas? You do your bit, mate. He's back in 15 minutes. Just get us in there. She hates going for food with me. My wife hates going out for dinner with me. She keeps telling me at the minute, right, that I've got ADHD. She keeps saying to me, Josh, you've got ADHD. I think you've got ADHD. I think you should get tested. I think you've got ADHD. Yeah, well, I think that's a very arrogant thing to tell somebody they've got if you're not a doctor. Like, let's break that down for a second. Like, you've told me a story. I've lost interest in that story. In your first thought is that I must have some kind of psychological condition. The arrogance of that. Like, can we maybe work on your storytelling skills before we put me on mind-altering medication? Should we try that first? I'll tell you the truth. I'm not a good husband. I'm not a good husband, I'll be honest. I'm not unfaithful or controlling, but I am incompetent, and that can really break a person over the years. I don't know what this says about me, right, but I'm not my wife's emergency contact. It's not a great sign, that, is it? I just make mistakes. That's all it is. I just make mistakes in our marriage. The worst mistake I've made in our marriage, right, was actually during one of the lockdowns. Now, my wife works in a school. Her favourite dinner in the whole world is beef stew in the slow cooker. Very exotic woman. That's her favourite dinner. One day, she gets up early to go to work. She puts this beef stew into the slow cooker. She goes out to work. She texts me at lunchtime saying, can't wait for this beef stew. Really looking forward to it. Gets in, 5 o'clock in the evening, rubbing her hands together. Can't wait for this beef stew. Been looking forward to this all day. What neither of us realised was that at about 12 o'clock that day, I'd accidentally unplugged the slow cooker so that I could plug in Alexa to ask how old Ronan Keating is. She was fucking livid. She's like, what were you thinking? I was like, I don't know, late 30s, early 40s. He's 47. I've got to tell people. That's one of my favourite things to do, actually, is to listen to music. I take my little boy into the kitchen, we put Alexa on, and we dance to a song until he falls asleep. It's magic. He's a 13-month-old white boy from the middle of England. His favourite song, of course, is In Da Club by 50 Cent. That one? You know that one? Yeah, you're a fiddy crowd, I can tell. Now, did you know, right, that in that song, 50 Cent is singing, you'll find me in da club, bottle full of bub, as in bubbles, as in champagne. Give me a cheer if you knew that. Yeah. Give me a cheer if you thought it was, you'll find me in da club, bottle full of bud. Yeah, me too. As if that is something that a millionaire rapper would be bragging about. That's right, ladies. Full bottle of Budweiser over here. You want some scratchings? Pretty get some scratchings, don't worry about that. It's when I try and help. That's when it goes wrong for me, when I try and be a good person, when I try and be helpful. I was getting the train recently, right, and the train was early. I was early. I thought I'd get on the train, right? On the train, there's me and one other guy. Now, this other guy, he's blind. He can't see anything at all. And as I've gone past him, he sort of sensed me. He's gone, oh, excuse me, mate. Can you show me where the toilet is? I don't know where to go. I'm like, yeah, of course. So he puts his hand on my shoulder. I walk him down to the toilet. It's one of those, you know, like the curvy, like bread bin, like blind date toilets. I usher this guy inside. He immediately starts taking down his trousers and pants. Now, this guy's blind, so he doesn't stand up and piss. It's easier for him if he sits down. What he doesn't know is, though, the door hasn't closed behind him, and there's no button on the outside for me to press it for him. What can I do in that situation there? I don't want to say something and make him feel embarrassed. I can't go in and press the button for him, because I'll be stuck in there with him. I don't want to walk off and leave the guy because he won't be able to get back to his seat. So I end up just standing there. People now start getting on the train. Now, bear in mind, they haven't seen the first bit, have they? They don't know that this guy can't see anything. To them, it looks like I've arrived early to watch a guy shit and that he is completely fine with it. Never help anybody. That's my message. Never help anybody. 2016, we start trying for a baby. 2017, we're loving trying for a baby. It's good fun, good stuff at first. You know how it works. It's good stuff. Got a few apps, and at that point, we could never imagine a world where me and my wife aren't together, so we got together very young. I was single for a little bit before I met her, went on a few dates, hated it. I used to get the ick. Heard of this thing, the ick? The ick's when somebody does something, it just makes you feel funny, it puts you off them. Had it once, right? I was out for a meal with a girl one evening. Halfway through the meal, this girl looks me dead in the face. She goes, Josh, I don't find you attractive. I don't like your personality. And I can see no future with you whatsoever. And I was like, ugh. Do you know what I mean? There was something about that. And I was like, no, no. No, that's a red flag for me. Yeah. That's alarm bells when someone says that. I will pick up on that and I'll be like, whoa. Even my wife, when I first met my wife, she didn't like me at first. Didn't fancy me one little bit. But I ground her down and now we're married. And people forget you can do that. Like, that is an option, do you know what I mean? Like, if you like somebody and they don't like you back, don't just give up straight away. Like, don't get weird about it. If you find yourself going through the bins, that's too far, she said. But like my generation especially, we're obsessed with this idea of fate, this notion of fate. Like, you hear it all the time, don't you? If it was meant to happen, it'll happen. But come on, we've got more control over our lives than that, surely. Like, if you're in the supermarket shopping with your kid and your kid wanders off, you'd go and look for it. You'll be like, guess it just wasn't meant to be. Just carry on shopping. You get back, your partner's like, where's the kid? Just didn't work out.
Yeah.
Right person, wrong time. We go again, we move forward. We're a great match, me and my wife. We're like yin and yang. That's what I'd say. If you're going to have a baby with somebody, ideally you want it to be with somebody you're in love with, but also somebody that can bring things to the table that you can't bring. I'm quite a negative person. My wife is a very up, happy person. She does not worry about anything. My wife, she's not anxious. She doesn't worry about anything. She goes to sleep at night straight away. Like, we go to bed, her head hits a pillow, she's gone. And it fucking freaks me out. I'm like, have you got nothing you need to reflect on at all? 10 out of 10 today for you, was it? 100%. Okay, you get your head down. Yeah, no problem. No, you get some rest. I'll start worrying about the cost alone. Don't worry, you get your head down. Do not worry about that. She doesn't worry about the cost of living, doesn't worry about anything like that. This is a fact, right, that sums her up, right? So since the cost of living's come in, I've stopped using the dishwasher so much, stopped putting the tumble dryer in all the time. She has started leaving the radio on for the dog when we go out in case he gets lonely. That's lovely, isn't it? That's a lovely thing, but it's costing a fucking fortune. I wouldn't mind, but he started texting in, entering competitions, and that's a joke.
Always thrilled to be somewhere that isn't a wedding. It's just so nice for me, and particularly as the last wedding that I went to, it was back in Kent where I'm from, so my husband wasn't invited, and I got there and I realised I had slept with three of the men there. That's quite a high percentage, isn't it? Yeah, it was a small wedding, mainly family. Oh my god. But then I was like, let's reframe this, actually. What a legend. I should tell someone about this, share the good news. I was quite drunk, so I was like, oh, who should I tell? Then I was like, I know who'll appreciate this. My husband. So I messaged him, but because I was quite drunk, my use of past and present tense was off. So I just messaged him saying, I've slept with three men at this wedding. Exclamation mark, phone died. The problem in my relationship is that I am a very bad drunk and my husband is sober. And the problem is you drink to forget, don't you? But he remembers everything that I did the night before and then he tells me the next day, which I think is rude. We're very proud of him though. He's been off the drink and drugs for 8 years. It's quite an achievement. Yeah, and I just thank you. I just can't wait till he relapses. Can't wait, counting down the days. Okay. We've been together for a long time now, over 10 years, so it's hard to keep the spark alive. One of the things we did recently that I recommend is we did our love language tests. I don't know if you know about love languages. So you find out what you need in a relationship to feel loved and appreciated. So it turned out my husband's love language was physical touch and quality time. So time spent with me made him feel loved and appreciated. And my love language was acts of servitude and gifts. I don't think my husband is my soulmate. I think that my soulmate is Amazon Prime. I'm in love with them. It's a problem. We went away for our anniversary recently to keep the spark alive. We went to this really nice hotel and we were sat outside in the courtyard and the sun was setting. I'd got really dressed up and I saw him looking at me and I was like, oh my God, I think he's about to tell me how beautiful I look. And then he's in tonight. I thought he was going to tell me how beautiful I looked. And so I was like, yes. And then he just looked at me and he went, Harry, it's so weird. Like, in some lights, it really looks like you have a beard. I was like, oh, I did not think you were going to say that. Okay, happy anniversary. Enjoy this one because it might be your last. So, yeah, we've been together for over 10 years and I have never cheated on him. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. I feel so proud about that. And it's because I have cheated in past relationships. And I know that is bad. I know it is a terrible thing to do. You can really hurt somebody. But my God, you feel alive. What a thrill, you know. Oh, they did the phone. Yeah, no, but it's a very bad thing to do, and I got a taste of my own medicine because early in my relationship with my husband, before he got sober, he cheated on me. And for a lot of people, yeah, that would be a deal breaker. They'd break up with him and they'd say, that is it, you don't deserve to be with me. But I think actually the bigger punishment is to stay with them and make them suffer every day for the rest of their lives. I'm like, did you do the dishes? And he's like, no. And I'm like, remember. He does them. One of my friends said that the best revenge if someone cheats on you is to sleep with their best friend. But my husband's best friend lives with his mum and doesn't believe in showers. Like, I only would have been hurting myself, you know. For me. I'm the kind of woman that thinks every erection is about me. Do you know what I mean? So, like, my husband will wake up with a boner and I'll be like, oh my God. I can't believe I did that. And he's like, Harry, it's nothing to do with you, I was asleep. And I'm like, I was asleep too, this is mad. Oh my God. Imagine what I can do when I'm awake. This is crazy. I am so powerful. So yeah, we've been together for over 10 years. So we met before the apps. So we met the old-fashioned way. I don't know if people are dating on apps, but a lot of my friends, they're worried they won't have a story to tell their kids when they grow up about how they met. So me and my husband are so lucky that we met the old-fashioned way. So we can say, when they say, oh, Mummy and Daddy, how'd you meet? We can say, oh, Mummy and Daddy met the old-fashioned way. Mummy and Daddy were at a party, and Mummy and Daddy's eyes met over the dance floor, and then Mummy went home and fucked someone else. The old-fashioned way! Lovely little bedtime story. So romantic. I was single for a long time before I met my husband, and I always thought, like, to be in a relationship, you have to be perfect. That's what I thought. Like, for someone to love you, you have to be perfect. So what happens is you meet someone, they just pretend that you're perfect. You know, it's like, hide that crazy deep down. Yeah. You go out for a bit and you're like, haha, they're falling for this. just gotta keep pretending you're normal. And you go a bit longer and you're like, yeah, no, I'm cool, whatever. Yeah. And I thought what happens is one day you get married and you're like, surprise! It's too late. He's fucked. What I realised is I got into my 30s, I was married, and all my friends in the same situation, they were like, don't you find hope in your 30s to get married? All your family is saying, when are you going to have a baby? When are you going to have a baby? But what I realised is that no one in my family was saying that to me. Like, if anything, my mum was like, no rush, you know? My grandma was like, some women are never ready. You just do you. And I think reason is I'm a bit of a mess. I have a scientific reason. I got diagnosed with something called dyspraxia. I don't know if you know what that is. It basically affects your spatial awareness, your coordination, your thinking can be a bit confused. And I found out I had it because I was at dinner with my family and my sister said, Harriet, I was watching Embarrassing Bodies last night and I think you might have the same thing as the woman on it. And I was like, that is not a sentence you ever want to hear. Okay. And so I had to get tested for it, and I was so nervous and worked up at this test and what it meant, and the professor was coming to my house, a test minute, it was going to take all afternoon. I got so worked up that I opened the door to him, and I just burst into tears, and I started crying in this poor professor's face, and I was like, I'm so sorry, I just got so worked up this test and what it means. I was like, come in. And I led him into the living room, and I got my foot stuck in a bowl. And so I was crying with my foot stuck in a bowl, and I was like, I'm so sorry, just give me one moment while I just get this bowl off of my foot. And then he was like, no, thank you so much, Harriet, you just saved us 5 hours. I think you got it, love. I think you got it. So I was like, cool, what does that mean? He's like, don't worry, there's a dyspraxia forum for your sort. I really recommend it, bunch of morons. Some people are very serious, but it really affects their life, but some people, they're just looking for an excuse. There was this one woman on it called Sheila, and she was like, hi guys, I don't know if this is a dyspraxia thing, but it really burns when I pee. I don't think that's a dyspraxia thing, Sheila, you know. This is a heavy weekend, Sheila. Like, you need to lie down, it's a grammar due, Sheila. It's a different thing, Sheila. It's different. So the diagnosis helped me to make sense of a lot of my life. You know, I lived in chaos, particularly when I was single. I once went home with this guy, right, and I was trying to act really together and really normal because I liked him. It was the first time I went home with him. We went back and he went to take off my skirt and I was like, yeah, cool, mate, whatever. And then he went to take off my pants and that's when I realised I'd accidentally put on 2 pairs of pants. So he took off the first pair and then it was just like, my God! It's like, whatever she's hiding, it's clearly for a good reason. We just went to sleep. This different guy once came back, and my room was such a mess that we got into bed, and he found in my bed a high visibility jacket. I don't know what he thought. Like, you know how some people are turned on by danger? No, no, I'm aroused by safety. Buckle up, okay? I was standing outside my show last week and there was a queue of people waiting to see me, and one of them was wearing, this girl was wearing a jumper saying Harvard. And I was like, oh no, I don't know, people that went to Harvard are going to be for me. And so I said to her, did you go to Harvard? And she said no, and I thought, phew, because people that go to Harvard, I don't think they're my crowd, but people that buy a jumper for $7.99 from H&M that says Harvard, they're my people. Okay. I went to this dinner party recently and it was full of all these really smart people. And everyone was asking the smart people questions. Someone was asking about climate change and dark matter, and I was pretending to listen. And then it got to me, and they were like, Harriet, do you have any questions you've always wanted to know the answer to? And I was like, yeah, this is my moment. And I was like, okay, if sperm can swim, why does it cum move? Yeah, gotta use your brains for this one, everybody. Yeah. So you see it on TV, and it's like, woo! And then it comes out, and it's like, splat. What is it doing behind our backs? Right, we've all seen the film Flubber. If you haven't, what are you doing here? It's a classic. 2 years ago, I had to grow up because I found out I was having a baby. And so I was like, right, what do you do when you're growing up? Right, I had to get life insurance. That's a grown-up thing you do. You get life insurance. Think about the future. But I looked into it, right, and you get so much money. It's fucking nuts. You can get literally like £250,000. So I was like, if I was to die, like, that would be the worst day of my husband's life. Like, undoubtedly, like, the love of his life, the mother of his child had just died. Then he wouldn't be able to help it, right? He'd have one moment where he'd just be like, woo! I won the fucking lottery! And I said, for that reason, I didn't get it. Because I would rather my newborn baby went without than my husband had that joy. That is how I feel about that. Yeah, having a baby was a big decision, right? Very big decision. Not the biggest decision I'll ever make. That's whether I'll get a fringe or not. That's more a long-term kind of thing. I think people make it quite stressful, the thought of having children. People really play it down. Like Michelle Obama said this year that she hated Barack for the first 10 years of her marriage. And Barack Obama, her husband. I don't know. Like, she said it because she wanted to give regular people hope. But I don't think she realised that that actually took away all hope, because we're not married to Barack Obama. Right, because if my husband's busy, it's because he's having a nap. If Barack was busy, he was like in the octagon or whatever, you know? It's a different thing, it's different. So people have asked me when I knew that I wanted to have a baby, and the truth is, it was the night that my cat died. Traditional. Because I love that cat so much, right? I love that cat more than certain family members. Like, maybe not my husband, but like my uncle. You know? When I cried, that cat licked tears from my face. My uncle has never done that. If he did, it'd be weird. I'd be like, get off, uncle, what are you doing? Anyways, I got back from the vet and I was so sad about my dead cat and I couldn't stop crying. It was this magical evening, it had just started snowing, and I looked down at my phone, I'd been tracking my periods, and I knew that I could get pregnant that night, and then the soul of my cat could get reincarnated into my baby. What? And I told my husband that, and he refused to have sex with me. But I had a baby, didn't I? Okay. And so I knew that I wanted to have a baby, but I knew that I didn't want a boy. You're not meant to say that, right? You're meant to say, I don't care about the gender as long as it's healthy. But the truth is, I would have rather a girl with a limp. And I know that gender is a construct, right? I just didn't want that toxic male energy. I happily would have taken a little femboy with hay fever. And I love that little sneezy boy. Has anyone here been pregnant recently? Give me a cheer. Had a baby recently? Woo. Did you like being pregnant?
Yeah.
Fuck you. No, good for you. So happy for you. Fucking hell. I just found it was a load of things you can't do, right? Like, you can't drink, you can't go on roller coasters, you can't do drugs. In moderation. NHS advice. Trust yourself. You know your body. No, I shouldn't do them anyway. I get a rash. Experimented a little bit in my 20s and I'd always like react really strangely. I once got home from this party and I was like really wired and I couldn't sleep, and I was like, I know, I'd go and chat with the guy at the local shop because I was friends with him, lucky him. I got there and I was like, we get on really well. I had this mad idea, right? If we're not both married by the time that we're 40, we should marry each other. And he was like, I'm 62 and this is my wife. Interesting. I found all the advice when I was pregnant so patronising. Right? I read this book and they were like, look, you have to eat really healthily and think of a baby all the time. If you do accidentally eat half a pizza, go to bed, wake up the next day and it's a new day. And I was like, half a pizza? I've never seen half a pizza in my life. The only time I've ever eaten half a pizza is when I've eaten my own pizza and then said to my husband, are you going to finish that? And your pizza as well, thank you. And I was so worried about my body changing, and I think all the celebs make it so difficult because they're like, I had to work so hard to get my pre-pregnancy body back. I had to work so hard, I didn't even recognise myself after I had a baby. But what I realised, right, is that my body didn't really change. The key is to have a bit of a garbage body beforehand. I've had a double chin and a wobbly tummy since I was 13. I'm back, baby. Yeah. It's the same old me. Okay. So worried because they say when you have a baby, like you can just go around, live your life, just piss yourself out of nowhere. And I was so nervous, I was worried, and I opened up to a friend of mine, and she was like, Harriet, I've been on nights out with you, you've pissed yourself loads. You don't need to worry about that at all. And then I was worried because they say when you have a baby, your vagina and your arsehole can become one. But like, that's a bad thing. Do you know what I mean? I'm a busy lady, you know. I don't have time for a vagina and an arsehole. I've got things to do. I've got a baby to raise. Yeah, your vagina and your arsehole become one. It's like some kind of fucked up Spice Girls song, isn't it? Horrible. It took me a while, though, to feel like myself again. I had this moment in the summer where I just stopped breastfeeding and I went to this spa and I was sat in this steam room alone and I was like, you know what? I'm back. I feel good. And in that moment, the door of the steam room opened and this woman peered in and the steam cleared and she looked at me and she went, Tony? I was like, I'm not Tony. And then, to be fair, I saw her with a guy afterwards who I guess was Tony. Absolute spit. me and Tony separated at birth. I don't know what happened there. I don't know. It's difficult. It's difficult to be sexy because there's a specific sexy look, isn't there? It's like the Kardashians and the Love Island girls. It's like swollen face, swollen lips and swollen areas. And that's actually quite a good look for me, right? Because I have a very allergic reaction to nuts. And so that look to me is just mid-anaphylactic shock. So I'm like, quick, eat some peanuts, upload me to Instagram. I've never been so beautiful. But it does, it works in good ways though, these allergies. Because I didn't have to do those pelvic floor exercises, you know, Kegels. I didn't have to do them because I just put peanut butter on my vagina and it swells up in no time. It's great. It does, so it attracts a lot of dogs. It's been a difficult couple of years. A lot of people got puppies. I have been trailed by many labradoodles, let me tell you. And I was like, maybe I should get lip fillers, you know? I've got some friends that have it. It looks great. Then I read this article and they were like, the idea behind lip fillers is you want your lips to be big, but they're not just big. You want them to be tender. And then you put lip gloss on them and then they look like a wet vagina. And then potential mates are like, oh my God, there's a vagina on that woman's face. And let's marry her immediately. But I found a more fun way to do it, right? What I'm going to do is I'm going to smoke loads of cigarettes. Yes, my lips look like a really wrinkled arsehole. Yeah, I know what the boys want. Because the look they're trying to achieve, the Kardashians, is this body shape they weren't born with, where they get some fat sucked out of places and added to other places to create this cartoon body shape, like Jessica Rabbit, right? But I don't want to be Jessica Rabbit. I want to be a different cartoon. Yeah, I want to be Minnie Mouse. Yes, I want to get all the fats into my hands. Yeah. The massive hands, you know. Just like all the dicks are really small. Yeah. Massive hands, tiny dicks. Let's go. Okay. Kim Kardashian said this year that she would eat poop if it made her look younger. And Gwyneth Paltrow was like, ka-ching! Somebody get a bucket, let's do this, okay? And I don't know, like, now you can change how you look if you don't like it, if you have enough money or you have a friend with a steady hand. And I don't think my generation knew that was an option, right? I have a friend, she's 10 years younger, and she got a nose job. And I said, why did you get a nose job? And she said, oh, I saw a picture of myself, and I didn't like how I looked, so I decided to change it. I don't think my generation knew that was an option. Instead, you get ready for a night out, look in the mirror, not like what you saw, do a Jaeger shot, get on with it, you know? Different approach, different.
This is a good mixed crowd, man. Thank you guys so much for coming out. This
yeah.
is...
Oh, this couple right here look nervous as
no,
shit.
They
never seen this many black people at the comedy show. So they're like, they're sitting there like,
this is not what it looks like on Louis.
Where you from, man?
Detroit.
Oh,
you used to black people. What's your point?
And he's rich too. You could tell he's rich.
How?
He got no socks on.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
only
yeah.
Only people that don't wear socks is rich white guys and Dominicans.
Yeah. Yeah, you do got a little bit of a yacht face. When's the last time you were on a boat, sir? Been a while?
Like
a couple weeks
last
ago?
Last week? Yeah. Who's this girl? Your wife, your girl, your side chick? Who's this lovely lady? Oh, yeah, my wife, motherfucker.
Yeah. Don't look
my,
directly
my side out. Chick could not make it out tonight.
How long y'all been married?
7 years.
Kids? Nice. Kids? One kid? Oh, well, that's a lot of pulling out.
Good job.
Well, you pull up, right? You're like, fuck those kids. I stay pulling. Even when I jerk off, I stay in practice, like, fuck them kids. So that move, I'll be like, and then, if you want to pull out.
Don't point at me. Don't point that thing at me.
If you want to pull out, you know what you do?
What?
You put some pictures of some badass kids on her back. You're like, oh, fuck those kids. Remind you, like,
You put your niece and nephew on the back.
No. They good kids. Other bad kids. Fuck those kids.
What about y'all? Where y'all ladies from? Thanks for coming. Oh, shit.
Oh, they took the ferry to get here.
What?
Yeah. What time is that last ferry? You got to get out of here soon, right?
Nah, it runs all night. Doesn't it run all night? 24 hours? Every half hour. Every half hour.
Oh, nice.
You from Staten Island too? Because you seem upset about it.
Yeah.
She seems happy about it.
This bitch told on me. I told her I was from Brooklyn and shit.
Nah, I was born in Brooklyn.
Wu-Tang. Who's not from America, by the way? Who's not from America?
Oh, wow.
Damn, they're way in the back.
They put all the immigrants in the back.
This white guy wow. right here. So where you from? Motherfucking Germany here.
Yeah.
All the Jews, pay attention. Germany is here. What's
Whoa,
up?
Easy, easy.
I'm joking. I know you apologized about that thing not too long ago.
Matter of fact, go sit in the back, buddy. What part of Germany are you from? Oh, he's taking a bite of his food. I'm sorry. Say it right now. Right now, say it.
Mainz.
Where? Mainz.
Did you say nigga? What?
Yeah, what the fuck? This table seems upset.
Everybody got their mask
yeah,
on.
What's
nobody
going on
trusts
here?
Nobody except for that guy right there. But the black people got their mask on. And Amber, Becky, whatever her white name is.
Julie, Stacy,
Samantha,
Tara Ann,
Marisol. Wait, Marisol.
Marisol,
there?
No, that's oh, a black name.
My bad. I apologize.
Name.
I didn't mean to disrespect you like that.
What's your white name, Rebecca?
Huh?
Claire. Claire. Wow. Wow. Wow.
Damn. She went super white on yeah. us.
She's like, oh, they're doing little white names. I'm gonna.
She old school white. Claire, motherfucker, next to Mary.
Where are you from, Claire?
Somewhere white, Connecticut, Utah.
Pittsburgh.
Oh, yes, okay. White. Pittsburgh. Oh, and you poor too. Pittsburgh, oh my God.
Wow. Wow, easy.
Pittsburgh, ooh. Pittsburgh is, ooh.
Damn, she got sad.
I know.
Because
you reminded her that she's from Pittsburgh.
Yeah, the steel industry didn't make it.
There's a lot of bridges. You know one thing about Pittsburgh? There's a lot of bridges. That's all. I got nothing else to say. I just want to give you all something. Sometimes they're not jokes. They're FYIs, motherfucker.
Yeah, like, this is a well-rounded show.
Yeah.
How about y'all at the same table? The opposite of very white, very black.
Oh, I know. This is
San Diego.
You from San Diego?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. You in the Navy?
No.
You sell crack to guys in the Navy?
I don't even know what that means.
The big naval base in San Diego. He knows what I'm talking about.
And your wife, your girl, your side chick?
It's okay. My wife.
Your wife. Wow. Wow.
Look at all the women clapping. Yeah, yeah.
That's right. Represent.
She told them to say that shit. Yeah.
Now, in which order?
Or she got a split personality.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Nice talking to you.
No, listen. If you don't fucking laugh and it goes dead, we're gonna edit that shit out. So, go ahead. I don't give a fuck what you do. They think they stopping us.
Snip, snip.
Hate on me.
Snip, snip. Are you giving someone a vasectomy?
Oh man, this is gonna
be a good
show.
All right, let's get this shit started, man.
Y'all ready to have some fun? Real quick, just ask this guy something. This guy here.
With the Bernie and Ernie shirt?
Yeah.
Sir, where are you from, sir?
Costa Rica.
Oh, shit.
You got a Spanish accent. Costa Rica.
Is Costa Rica puro vida? Pura vida.
What does that mean?
What does that mean?
You Puerto Rican.
I don't speak Spanish.
Oh, you Puerto Rican from the Bronx.
Yeah,
that
I'm Bronx
sense.
Puerto Rican. I just heard somebody say that once.
It's pure life, but it's a way of living pretty much over there.
Pure life.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so, for the cocaine. I don't know what that means either, so.
That's for the cocaine. It's
pure
pura
life.
Vida.
Does that mean he doesn't wear condoms? Pure life?
Pure life. Who are you here with,
Buena
sir?
Vida, coño, manicón, nosotros. And when he comes, he says, Feliz Navidad. I'm sorry, these jokes are very racist. I apologize. I was not prepared for a Costa Rican talking to us tonight.
This German guy is at the wrong show. You upset, sir?
His arms are crossed. Like, this is not what I paid for. Sir, look, to make you feel good, relax, I'm really white. This is a birthmark. Does that help you out?
Yeah.
Oh, thank
sir,
God.
Sir, you can't sit like that on the subway in New York City. That's called man spreading.
He
got his Bavarian pretzel all out on Broadway, yo.
I want to show my goddamn German balls.
Well, who's these three ladies right here? Hi, ladies.
Where?
Hi. Oh,
this is Charlie's Angels.
Right here. Hi, what's up? Are you here for us, or did you just wander into the Comedy Cellar? Oh, fuck Will.
I don't know him like that. I just... Three lonely-ass white girls who's out there begging and shit.
Welcome. Well, you just got sex trafficked, so welcome to the show. This is our friend Franny. She's Mexican.
She's the tallest Mexican I know.
Yeah.
Can you stand up real quick? They're not going to see this on the album. Yeah, she's standing up. Look at her.
Wow.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't know you was the Mexican Daisy Dukes. That's crazy.
That's her father's pants. Her father's this big.
I'll tell you my COVID story, okay? I think you guys can handle it. I got COVID. Not now, sorry. That's relevant. I got COVID last year. I got COVID from my girlfriend, who got it from a guy who sexually assaulted her. Yeah. That'll change the room. It's very irresponsible of her. I mean, we're in a pandemic, guys. Don't you fucking close up on me now. We have gone so far. You don't do it now. Thank you, three people laughing from the beginning, who were like, I hope there's comedy at this IHOP tonight. And then like 90,000 other people were like, oh, do we choose now to not commit to... Don't laugh extra hard now. You missed your time. This is what happened, all right? I want to share with you guys how this happened, okay? I was performing last November in Grand Junction, Colorado, and when I was on stage, there was a guy who was in the back of the showroom who was belligerently and drunkenly shouting out and interrupting the show. My fiance, then girlfriend, politely goes over to the table to ask the guy if he wouldn't mind being quiet. When she gets to the table, the guy grabs her ass, pulls her mask down, and kissed her. Now, this happened during the show in the back of the room, so I was unaware that it was happening. When the show ended, the audience cleared out. I got off stage to find my girlfriend in tears. She told me that after the exchange, she had to step outside, cry, try to collect herself, because she was very upset. And I was also very upset. She missed my show. I was so good that night. Now, we drove to that gig, we drove back, we wore masks the entire time, and he was the only person either of us had come in contact with. A week later, to the day, we both wake up and we've got COVID symptoms. Diarrhea. All over the bed, and the sheets, and the pillows. I think she had some symptoms as well. But it sucked. It really sucked. It was a situation that went from bad to worse in a week. It's like when a girl gets pregnant and then a week later she calls you and is like, I'm gonna keep it. You're like, no, this is not my week. But we never got to confront that guy. We never did. And we didn't get closure on the situation. And I really realized after it had happened that, you know, it was making me so angry. I was building resentment for this situation that was something that didn't even happen to me. And I wasn't even upset just because it had happened to my girlfriend, but it had happened to a person, to a woman who deserves to have her space respected, and it wasn't. And so, because that had happened, I realized that I started fantasizing about what it was that I could get to do to that guy, provided I ever had the opportunity. And I want to share with you my fantasy. Let's just say it's that night. I get off stage. My girlfriend tells me what happens. I'm furious. I start walking over to the table. I've got my shirt off. I've got muscles now. Why are you laughing? I go over to the table. I say to the guy, "Hey, man, are you the guy who sexually assaulted my girlfriend?" And you know the guy, he'd turn around and he'd say something douchey like, "Oh, are we about to get physical? Are we about to get physical?" At which point, I'd lean in real close. I'd pull his mask down. And with his hand, I'd make him grab my balls. And I'd go, "How's this for a physical?" And then I'd do his prostate. I call that a stimulus check. And then he'd kick my ass, probably. But I'll be honest, after that happened, my girlfriend and I, we were off. Our dynamic was off. And I kept racking my brain for how I could try to make it right, how I could make her just feel better. And I finally said, "Babe, you were powerless in a situation where you felt violated and uncomfortable. What if, in order to get the power back, what if you violate me and do something that makes me uncomfortable?" So, a few weeks later, unbeknownst to me, my girlfriend attached herself to a strap-on. And in the middle of the night, while I was sleeping, she pegged me. We still have to find something that makes me uncomfortable.